accession number 18495, reel 2.
My application was granted, and I eventually got to England after a momentous journey in which I encircled the world. After the Italian campaign, which I missed because of my journey around the world to get home, the regiment came home to England and I was recalled. I was promoted Squadron Quartermaster Sergeant of D Squadron, a newly formed squadron, and immediately things became very hectic because we had to get ready for D-Day. Lots of new things, lots of new bits of equipment, and it was our responsibility, the second in command of the squadron and myself, to ensure that everybody had got everything they should have and the whole squadron was fully equipped with everything. This we achieved by D-Day. On day 3, the regiment was on board an old steamer called the City of Bradford, and we were chugging across the channel. Without going into too many details, we made highly successful landings at Arromanches, thanks mainly due to the very good waterproofing of the vehicles, which we had practiced assiduously before in England. On landing, military policemen guided us to some nearby fields, and we stripped off all the waterproofing from all the vehicles, and I should say in about 2 hours the whole regiment was ready to move. Then began a long period of about 6 weeks, I think, of tension being tied up in the landing area, which stretched from Bayeux to Caen and down to Mount Pinson in the south. We resumed the same supply system as previously described for desert operations, but under very different conditions. Most supply travel took place at night without lights and without signposts, and in the thickly wooded and orchard country of Normandy. Here one felt very vulnerable to in a 1500 weight truck or a lorry. However, tribute must be paid to the officers who navigated the main echelons under these difficult conditions. We very rarely went wrong, and usually the squadron echelons were left with only a short distance to travel before linking up with their respective squadron HQs, and then hastily beating a retreat after getting the supplies handed over. Once the Falaise Gap had been won and we were streaking for Belgium and Holland, everything in the supply-wise seemed to go reasonably well, and wherever our armoured car troops were, they nearly always received their full whack of supplies in good time. However, the severe winter conditions in Holland and Belgium in the winter of 1944-45 caused us some discomfort and inconvenience. Mostly the armoured cars were quite static for long periods, but of course the supply vehicles were very mobile and moving to and fro as usual. And it was during this bitterly cold period that our rum jars, which I kept on, for the squadron rum jars, I kept on the 1500 weight truck, well stowed away out of sight, they were completely emptied, because the rum ration was allowed to be given out several times a week. Now, it was at this time that we began to be billeted in schools and various halls dotted around the villages and little towns in the Maastricht area of Belgium, which was quite a pleasant change, because only a short time before, and up until then, we had been sleeping out in the fields, rough, and it was beginning to get very, very cold indeed. So we did enjoy that change. Now, towards the end of March, another change took place. The B echelons began to rumble over the huge Bailey Bridge at a place near Xanten, and we were in Germany at last. The advance from then on was pretty rapid, and we were in more open country, which meant much better going and straightforward going for the supply vehicles. And oddly enough, we began to have a little more time on our hands, and the B Squadron echelon suddenly began capturing things for themselves. Amongst these was a rail wagon loaded up with furs and warm clothing on its way to Russia. Well, we made short work of that. And then we found hidden in a secluded wood a beautiful brand new sports model Mercedes, which we all took turns to riding in until the petrol ran out. Now that was great fun after driving lorries and armoured cars around for about 3 or 4 years. Later, towards the end, the B vehicles had to double their carrying capacity by taking in loads of first-class hooch. This included five-star brandy, a bottle of Coog at the foot of the Kiel Canal. When we were ordered to Berlin a little later, the problem was to get this stuff to Berlin. Well, we had heard about the Russian guards at Helmstedt, and we managed to get it by those nosy people quite successfully. And when we got to Spandau, the barracks in Spandau in Berlin, all the stuff was offloaded in the cellars, special locks put on the doors, and this proved to be a wonderful source of supply for the regimental officers and sergeants' messes for many months to come. And wherever we moved to in Germany, and we moved about quite a bit after that, we were able to send transport back on whatever pretext and collect some and replenish the both messes. I know this to be quite true because invariably I was the person who was given the key and the lorry and orders to bring back whatever the lorry could carry. By then, I'd been promoted to Squadron Sergeant Major. However, it was quite a wonderful way to do my last Q job for the regiment. I'd like to play a tribute to all the NCOs in the various echelons which I was in charge of. You couldn't operate without full cooperation of the NCOs in particular. Well, during all my experiences as acting in a quartermaster position, I had some wonderful NCOs, sergeants in particular, who weren't dependent on discipline to cooperate and give me their fullest help in every way, and I was extremely grateful for that. And then finally, being a member of a famous regiment was like being the member of a great family. But we also belonged to a bigger and equally famous family, and that was the 7th Armoured Division. The swift-moving action of the European campaign never eradicated the desert memories and the inspiration we felt whenever we saw the Desert Rat emblem of the 7th Armoured Division. We couldn't help but feel a little pride in what had been achieved in those memorable years.